So many of you have shared with me that you're enjoying this fall series as we think about current movers and shakers, people in cultural context of today, and aiming to think about them through the lens of biblical truth and Jesus' words. And that's really cool to hear that you're benefiting and being blessed by that. That's really awesome. It's wonderful. And a few of you in the midst of that have honestly also reflected to me, saying things like, I struggle with having to focus on such characters in light of their life choices and so often so evil. Some of you just shared authentically, saying, I struggle to think about them, let alone pray for them. Almost every week we've had that challenge of, okay, pray for this individual or these style of individuals. And I just got to tell you, I get it. I do. We can easily feel yuck and ugh and something of a sigh related to cultural climate and what can seem so prevalent by way of evil and wickedness and individual choices. When we encounter evil people, we can feel yuck and ugh and ugh. I know, I get it. Honestly, for me, today's featured character is a real character. There are characters, and then there are characters, and this is one of those characters. I've had my own yick factor moments getting ready to talk about the Bieber. Yeah. Let's read aloud as we start this morning these verses as we get ready to explore what Jesus might say to Justin Bieber this morning. So I invite you to read aloud with me Luke 12, 29 to 31. Will you read aloud with me? Let's read aloud together. And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Big words from Jesus. A lot to say in just a few short lines of biblical truth. A lot to say from King Jesus right here. What a character. Justin Bieber, if you're not aware, is a pop music icon who's sold millions of records and won a gajillion awards. His exact genre is tough to pin down. Truly. Seems like he's dabbled successfully in everything from hip-hop, R&B to gospel and even country. Bieber's multi-classification craftsmanship is part of what has made him unique. Of course, the guy has been sort of eye candy for mobs of young girls across the years. His fan base is affectionately dubbed Beliebers. Creative, right? Yeah, you're a believer if you're a radical devotee to the Canadian pop singer. Yes, I'm serious. Believers! And as a believer in Jesus, that all by itself causes me to go, yuck. The superstar is mega wealthy and lives an opulent lifestyle and has tried, some would say excelled, in every imaginable worldly pleasure. Based on what Justin has run after, we can readily say his life does not match. It's all about Jesus. It does not match what Jesus describes as don't do's and do this instead. Some of Bieber's biggest hits include Stay, Despacito, Sorry, Love Yourself, I Don't Care, and Boyfriend. And as you can probably conclude from titles like these, much of his music takes on love and sex, romance gone wrong themes. All over the map in his own moral aspirations over the years, sometimes he's claimed that he's trying to take the high road in his lyrics, only to then just turn around and produce things that are actually more suggestive and sensual and debased than ever. Again, all of it adding to that yuck factor. Many of his songs are born out of his own highly publicized relationships with various models and other musical performer icons of our day. Super famous songs have dealt with revenge and heartache, especially after his own tragic breakups. Born in 1994, note that, born in 1994, his parents separated when he was very young. He was discovered by record executive Scooter Braun, bigwig in the music industry, when he was just 13. During 2009, Bieber rocketed into the mainstream, landing on the Billboard Hot 100 and performing on a variety of live TV shows. It was all about pump the Bieber, pump, push, push, push the Bieber. And as the first decade of the 2000s was wrapping up, Justin helped rock in New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest on Dick Clark's New Year's Eve. Across the next decade, and now into the 20s, Justin Bieber has continued making people into believers. Yeah. Ugh. So much of the Biebs' life has indeed run contra Jesus. Let's take a fresh listen to these words, some reflections from our fall feature biblical passage. Take a listen as Alex Wright reads for us from Luke 6, 27 to 45. Alex is going to read for us.
But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, then you'll be able to see to clearly remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
Great job. Thanks, Alex. Will you join me in thanking Alex for reading God's word for us this morning? Great job, buddy. Note again several things for starters. We're in Jesus' teaching on the level plain. This is the Sermon on the Plain, the level ground. And he and his disciples have come down to this area, and hundreds, potentially thousands of other people are gathered right there as well. Crowds are gathered, including many disciples in this broader group. Now, right before this, he's called specifically 12 apostles who will live out his radical devoted mission. And we dare not miss it. There are many parallels right here to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus' words here have echoed through the centuries. What Jesus said, and is still saying today, in order to show us his heart values, is true and rings true through and through. It's still ringing true today. He's good news of the kingdom of God. That's why it's so important for us to soak up a passage like this, and we're in this passage throughout this whole series this fall, and it's important for us to soak it up because it's a pathway for us as disciples of Jesus. It's a road to walk for us. Strong words from Jesus, not just for someone like the Bieber, but for you and for me. With what Alex just read, let's consider what Jesus could be saying to Bieber and to you and to me. And note how Jesus goes after better pursuits. We're going to see him go after four better pursuits. Here's the first one. Run after true God-like love. Run after true God-like love. Verses 27 through 36, Jesus shows a different kind of love. A different kind of love. It's not a self-consumed worldly love. Now, it's important for us to note that sensual love is not wrong. God made us as humans with senses and the ability to express love in a sensual way, in close physical intimacy, in devoted, married love between one man and one woman. In devoted, married love between one man and one woman. Outside of God's beautiful plans, it's reckless, and it's sinful, and it's selfish. Love's foundational expression all across God's story is agape. Foundational to understanding the other loves presented in the Bible is agape love, God the Father's style of love. It's selfless. It's sacrificial. Take up a cross, lay down your life, meet someone else's needs, style of love. That's agape. Now, across his pop star career, when he's not been making news by topping the billboards, Bieber's been in trouble with the law in very self-absorbed ways. Vandalism, drug use, and even a highly publicized DUI arrest. Instead of true, godlike love, Bieber has run after hedonistic, self-gratifying actions. Love that's phony and actually hurts others. And in the process, he's hurt himself. Jesus calls disciples to live in an utterly different way. Utterly, brilliantly, beautifully, shining brilliant, different way. We live for others. Very intentionally doing good. Even and especially to those who hate or harm you. And here's where agape love gets really tough. Genuine, deep love for people, and especially for your enemies. Did you notice that when Alex was reading? Did you notice those words from Jesus? Especially your enemies. Let your love mirror the kindness, mercy of your Father God. You see, when as humans, we actually get a grasp on agape love and we learn to reflect that style of love, what are we doing? We're actually mirroring our Father God's style of love. We're showing ourselves to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, if you were reading ahead this week, if you were following along with the discipleship pathway in our church app, if you were looking there at the message notes and saw read ahead this week, you read in Ephesians 5, and Paul says this, get rid of all bitterness. Now notice how this is really antithetical to a vandalism style life and a DUI style life and a just love in the moment, whoever looks good, feels good, whatever kind of love, it's antithetical to that. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Verse 32, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Top of chapter 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Why can we love? Because we learn and we let it change us, this reality that we are so loved. What we were singing about earlier, God so loved, the arms of Christ spread wide on the cross, so loved the world, and that includes you and me, every one of us, so loved. And when you grasp that and you let it change you from the inside out, then what? The overflow becomes real, the everyday agape love flows out from you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. His work on the cross for you and for me. Okay, so I want you to do something really hard right now. Are you ready? You didn't come to church today to just play it easy, right? You're gonna do something really hard. I want you to think about the person who absolutely angrifies you, pushes all your buttons. You've got one or two people like that. Don't give me that look like, no, but I'm tranquil. You've got somebody like that. I know you do. The family member you would not choose to do holidays with. You've got one of those. The coworker you would never have hired if you were the boss, but you're stuck with that coworker. The boss you frequently have fun dreams about getting to fire yourself. Or that kid at school that you were actually secretly delighted when they got COVID and were out for 5 days. Yeah, you know you felt that way. Now ponder, here we go, here's the hard part. You didn't have trouble thinking about him. I know you didn't, but here's the hard part. Ponder one really nice, wonderful, kind, merciful thing you could do for him, for her. And plan to do it this week. Don't file it away and say, oh, that's a nice thought. Maybe I'll do what Jesus says. Maybe I'll apply that love with difficult people thing coming up in the next month, the 6 months. Maybe I'll work it up at Christmas time, that good love thing. And no, this week, plan to do it. Why? Because that's God's style love. And it's not just Justin Bieber who needs to get a hold of that love and let it change him. We need it. Here's the second run after non-judgmental forgiveness. It's the second better pursuit. Run after non-judgmental forgiveness. Verses 37 and 38, spotlight it. Verses 37 and 38. Do you live with clenched fists, carrying things really uptight toward others? It's way too easy to get really judgy toward everybody else, including Justin Bieber. We can get on our high horses about his evil carnal life. But move it closer to home, we can do that toward coworkers, family members, neighbors. We can size up Bieber-like people and say, yuck. Ugh. Can't stand them. And we judge, and we hold on to grudges, big baggage. We keep carrying way too much baggage. And Jesus says, give it up. Forgive. Stop condemning. Drop the judginess. Bieber is really more complex than just his bad boy, spoiled, rotten image. More complex. Before I get on my high horse saying yuck one more time, I should aim to understand and empathize better. Consider his broken family, his tossed around background. Ponder his way too early stardom condition and the insane pressure at such a young age. Even bigger, consider this. Bieber's had mental health struggles, big time, over the years. And he's opened up about them. Last October, the Generation 95 staff did a piece about his faith journey. They reported this. They said, as the years went by, Bieber became a more mature individual. And with hindsight, was able to look back on past behavior. In 2019, he posted on social media about how his fame had impacted his mental health. He said how it is, these are his words, hard to get out of bed in the morning with the right attitude when you're overwhelmed with your life and your past job and responsibilities and emotions and your family and your finances and your relationships. Generation 95 staff goes on to say, Bieber has been open about his struggles. He spoke about having access to, these are his words, whatever I wanted, and how that contributed to his struggles. He also spoke about the ups and downs as an entertainer and how they caused him to abuse drugs in his teenage years. And this also resulted in him getting into many of those very difficult relationships. Bieber said that by age 20, he had, again, his words, made every bad decision you could have thought of. And any of us who've watched the news, you'd be like, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. He went on to say that he went from one of the most loved and adored people in the world to the most ridiculed, judged, and hated person in the world. Again, his words and his feelings. Now, I don't share these things so that we can feel sorry for Justin and excuse his bad behavior. No, I share these threads because it's all part of his story. Every one of us has more to their story. I've got more to my story. You've got more to your story, more than we just readily at first glance present. Part of impacting other people around us with the love, mercy, and good news is learning to actually hear their stories and really grasp what they've faced. To actually hear it and grasp it. Only then can we really love and forgive and give of ourselves more. Only then. Now, at the risk of oversimplification, I'll say this. If you're from an older generation, like 20 plus years older than Bieber, and I'm in that category, you're gonna have a better grace and gospel impact on the next generation if you learn to drop the judginess. For example, realize that amidst all of his tattoos, and he's all inked up, there's a cross in the very center of his chest. Very deliberate. And there are other very intentionally inked sacred images on his scape. See, we gotta learn to empathize and actually hear younger people's stories and learn their hurts and their heartache and their hang-ups and their joys and their victories. And then we can extend Jesus' forgiveness and give ourselves away in really generous measure, like Jesus describes here, the kind that's actually like packed down, and really packed down in the bag or in the bucket and ready to overflow. Jesus' image there, by the way, was like generosity in the marketplace. Don't you love it when you like you go to buy something and somebody like scoops it in and then like packs it down some more, scoops it in some more? Why? Because you're getting a full measure, right? And he's saying really loving people, genuinely generous people, pack it in, let it overflow, pack it in some more, let it flow. It's how others get to know the love of Christ. Now, let's flip it around. At the risk of oversimplification, I'll say this. If you're of the younger generation, like only 10 years older than Bieber or 10 years younger, patiently get close with a few older and wiser people. Seriously. Don't shove them off just because they seem out of touch. Believe it or not, they were your age just a couple blinks ago. Just ask one of them when you leave today. You're sitting around some of them. Just ask them. Most of them still think they're that young, too. They've walked through the very same struggles. Super similar temptations. And they know their full measure of life hurts and hang-ups. And you will do yourself a really big favor by reaching out and hanging out somewhere for an hour or two. So I'm going to challenge you. Go ahead, do it. Seriously, don't put it off. make the invite this week. Don't put it off till like Christmas time or January or 5 years from now. Do it this week. Reach out to one of them. You'll shock them. You will. Invite them out. Go for coffee. Go for a burger. Go for a milkshake. And just swap stories. Tell them in advance of coffee or burger that you'd love to hear their best life insight. Seriously, you will shock them. Say, what would you tell the 17-year-old version of yourself, or the 27-year-old version of yourself, or the 37-year-old? What would you say? And then go and sit there and let it overflow and soak it up. You might get the opportunity. You might get the opportunity to love more like the Father and the Son love. You might get the opportunity to see the Holy Spirit show up right there in those moments, bringing his comfort and his fresh courage into your life and their lives as well. Here's the third better pursuit. Third better pursuit. Run after right-sized self-awareness and teachability. Run after right-sized self-awareness and teachability. Verses 39 through 42 again. Luke 6, verses 39 through 42. Jesus also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It's rather comical imagery from Jesus, right? Jesus is actually recalibrating perspective. He's recalibrating vision. The blind leading the blind, and then a plank in the eye. Vision challenges. Vision impairment. I had a guy I knew. He's in my dorm for a year in college, who was vision limited, significantly vision limited. And he used a cane. He would move down the sidewalk with a white cane tapping it, and he had a crazy good sense of humor. So he would tap his way down the sidewalk, and if he heard someone coming, and again, great sensory equipment, he could hear somebody coming, and he would say, who's coming? And if it was a girl's voice and answered, he would whistle. And he'd shout, woo, you're looking good today, woo! And they knew he couldn't see him. What's Jesus' line of reasoning right here? I think he's getting after what's often the source of our ongoing bitterness and judgmental spirits. Think about it. I struggle to see my own weaknesses and sins and misfires in life, but they're so easy to see in other people, right? I had a day this past week when everybody was being an idiot. Have you ever had one of those days? Some of you are really nervous about which day that was if you were around me, aren't you? And everybody, the deep level of incompetency was stunning. Everybody everywhere. And it wasn't until I actually paused to realize, whoa, wait a minute, John. You are really tired, you've had a couple of not so good nights of sleep in a row, and you're juggling a lot today. You're not likely reading others 100% on the money. Here's a fourth better pursuit. Fourth better pursuit. Jesus says, run after holy good that produces holy good fruit. Run after holy good that produces holy good fruit. Verses 43 to 45. Again, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, this has big implications for Bieber's song lyric choices. In Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, and again, if you were reading on the discipleship pathway in the church app this week and you went into Ephesians 5 on a few of the days, you probably saw this. It probably stood out to you. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, the Apostle Paul echoes Jesus' wisdom from the Gospels and says, we should be filled with the Spirit. Jesus talks about fill up and your heart being filled up, and now Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, but then he notes one of the ways we're filled up. Notice it. He says, speaking to one another with songs, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Some of you know this, and some of you don't. Something more, potentially something really good, has stirred in Bieber's heart in recent years. A few more insights from the Generation 95 staff. They share this. They say, Bieber spoke of how there was a sense of still yearning for more. Again, his words. A sense of still yearning for more. He then said, it was like I had all this success. And it was still like, I'm still sad. And I'm still in pain. And I still have these unresolved issues, and I thought all the success was going to make everything good. Bieber's life has turned around. Generation 95 staff capture it this way. They explain that in 2018, he was engaged to Haley Baldwin, and the duo officially married in 19, and they appear to be in a happy, loving relationship. Even better than that, his Instagram page features many words of praise about Jesus. And he frequently shares his feelings with his tens of millions of followers. And as a vocal believer, Bieber deserves immense respect. Seriously, think about it. I challenge you to think about it. He deserves respect for showing faith at a time when Christian values appear to be frowned upon by the increasingly liberal world. A well-known post came in July of 2020. Some of you saw it or you've seen copies of it. Bieber captioned an Instagram post and said, these are his words, thank you, Jesus, for my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for showing me I am enough. Thank you that I no longer have to carry shame but can walk with my chest up and head held high, knowing I'm loved, chosen, and forgiven. And then he goes on to say this, if you struggle with your past, give it to Jesus. He isn't burdened by it. He loves you and is honored to know all of the little details, good and bad, in your life. He isn't angry with you. He wants the best for you. Justin Bieber has also praised his mother for not terminating her pregnancy when she became pregnant at just 17 years old. Bieber has gone on record to denounce abortion, calling the horrific procedure an act of killing a baby. His mother has been vocal in her pro-life community, in the pro-life community at large. We mentioned earlier about Bieber's arrest in 2014. In January of 21, he reflected on this very event, and he described it, looking back those years prior, he described it as not his finest hour, he admitted. And he encouraged fans to, and these are his words, let the forgiveness of Jesus take over and watch your life blossom into all that God has designed you to be. Bieber has said that God is the reason I'm here. Again, his words. The reason I'm here. Having been baptized in 2014, yes, the Bieber baptized, it's been in recent years that he's accepted Christ more and more and grown in him. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. I've thought the same this week. Time and fruit will tell. Time and fruit will tell, really. There are still a lot of inconsistencies and mixed up things that seem, he seems to be running after many days, so we'll see. But Even right there in what I just said, even right there is where I need to watch out in my attitude. We all do. It's altogether possible for me to get really judgy and sus about the Beeb's authenticity, how good or bad he really is, and decide that I'm appointed to be the official fruit inspector. And what do I often do? What do you often do when doing that? Well, I give myself a pass on all the still not fully Jesus-like areas in my own life. So look what Jesus says in Luke 12, 29 to 31. One more time. Let's read it together. I invite you to stand. Let's read it together. We're going to read this one more time, full voice together. Let's read it out. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. And your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. What's Jesus saying to you today? Don't just leave it with the Bieber. What's he saying to you? We're going to enter into a time of communion right now. The team's going to come back and help us get ready for that, prepare our hearts. And you're going to have the opportunity to take a piece of bread and remember his body given for you on the cross. Think about it. His arms spread wide for all the world to come. His arms of love spread wide for all the world to come. You'll have the opportunity to take a cup of juice and drink, remembering his blood shed for you. Why? To cover, to atone, to forgive all your sins. And the sins of everyone who will come to him. As we encounter communion right now, please hear him afresh and anew say to you, my love for you and through you is very real. That real love, that agape love for you, through you, very real. His love through his sacrifice on the cross. He brings you forgiveness and freedom so that you can love others with his style love. There are stations here at the front, a couple stations in the back. If you're not able to get up and move out of your seat today, if you lift your hand, an usher would love to come and serve you. If you're joining with us online, please feel free to grab some bread, crackers, a cup of juice to enter in across the screen. Let's pray right now together. Precious Jesus, thank you for such agape love, such all-out sacrifice. You took up the cross. You gave your all to meet us at our deepest need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you call the Bieber and every one of us into such forgiveness. In these moments right now, we remember your body given and your blood shed. We thank you from the depths of our heart because of you, Jesus, only because of you. We can walk in such confidence knowing we're loved and forgiven and being filled up with that overflow of newness of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Whenever you're ready, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are invited to one of the tables or you can lift your hand. Ushers will come. You can move out to those spots and take of the bread, drink of the cup. Remember Jesus' incredible love for you.